Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Game of Thrones. Tonight's host is Bethany Jaber. Joining Bethany will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Nathan Hertz, Curtis Taylor, and Sarah Stretton. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Game of Thrones news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Bethany Jaber!
Yay! Hello out there.
Hello.
We have so much to celebrate this week. We were not here last week, and we're supposed to be doing Golden Crown this week, but we're back one. Today we are going to talk about the wolf and the lion, and things are heating up with the Starks and King Robert. So I'm excited.
And the Lannisters.
Yeah.
So this was last week's episode that we're doing. And then next Sunday, we will be doing a combination, I think, of what went on tonight and what's going on next week. So next week will be kind of double.
Yes. So we won't confuse you guys. That's what it is.
We'll just remain confused and like double up. And Phil's going to join us right now.
Hello, Phil. Hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. For those of you who don't know me, hey, Bethany, I'm just going to steal your mic.
Like, my thing is like pulling me closer to you. So
of course. See, I like to surround myself around beautiful women.
I know.
Sarah should have been right
no,
here.
No. This was mine.
But the reason why I'm here, you guys may know me from my other shows, Shameless, South Park, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
But,
sometimes he really likes to join us on Gossip Girl. Sometimes. It's his favorite.
I had no idea.
He loves really, really young girls, by the way.
Well, anyways, I wanted to say this. For those of you who don't, we're going to let the cat out of the bag with AfterBuzz in the regard of, you guys obviously know all the shows we do. We do tons of them. Mm-hmm. However, all of us here are volunteers. While we are a network, we're all volunteers. So Curtis, he's an actor. Sarah actually is a student in college.
And she's just beautiful.
She's
just beautiful.
Well.
Yes.
I am that as well.
Yeah.
I'm just everything.
Yeah, she's an actress.
And Bethany is an acting coach as well as an actress herself. Bethany, what pilot were you just recently?
I'm glad that you're a Gossip Girls fan because the show that I'm on just got picked up. And it's called Heart of Dixie.
Yeah, it's not a pilot.
With Rachel Bilson and Jamie King and Scott Porter and Cress Williams. And it's going to be on at 9 p.m. on the CW after Gossip Girls. So just knock on wood and like... feel free to blog about me and they can write more for me.
She's going to be a celebrity.
Let's hope.
That's what it is.
It's going to be part of my schedule. I'm going to watch Gossip Girl and I'm going to watch you.
Absolutely.
I love my character. So I hope they keep me.
Really? No, they're going to keep you.
How is Rachel Bilson?
She's amazing. She's just like...
That's all you got?
A ball. She's a ball of light, and getting to watch her work, I learned so much because she's just such a pro. I mean, she like gets off book, and when I mean off book, she learns her lines like that, and she'll do her take, and everybody's like, "Wow, that was gorgeous, that was perfect," and she moves on. She's super, super sweet. So
excellent.
Fun. I don't want to know about her. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to know. I want to know about you. Your character.
Jamie King plays like the head of the Bells, and they're like these southern mean girls, and I'm essentially like the number two of the Bells. So like I'm in charge of the girls, and in one of the openings of like the pilot presentation and the previews, Nancy Travis says, "Those girls, you better watch out for them because they've got nothing on the Soprano family." So we look very nice, but we're kind of mean.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be a whole different side to you. I'm so seeing like the nice Bethany. I'm gonna be like, what's going on?
Oh, nice, not so nice.
Well, we're just filled with good news. Last week, Game of Thrones was the number one download podcast for AfterBuzz TV.
Up.
So I'm a little mad that we are missing an episode,
and we got to
play catch up.
We're here now.
So number one again.
Let's do it. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, we've been making a call to arms from all of our fans, you know, that we all are volunteers, and we ask for nothing. We ask for no money. The only thing we ask for is to tell your friends. Mm-hmm. And obviously you guys responded because I just recently got a phone call from our web hosting service that said, what is going on? You guys have downloads in Japan, Kuwait, Australia, Greece,
obviously the United States.
And he's like freaking out. He's like, I need you to handle it. Like, you guys need to come up with a different plan. We need to figure something out. You guys just way too much downloads.
These are high class problems.
We do.
So
we like this problem. That's a good news problem.
So
you do know this is the second show that I've been a part of. Actually three. Yeah, this is
three.
The third show that I was a part of that was actually number one.
Ooh. Oh, maybe. Oh, are you trying to say something?
I think Curtis. You know, this was his head, and then it just kept growing.
Of course. Well, so I do want to say that, you know, and so as we sort of, you know, since we're on the forefront of this new media venture, you know, we appreciate feedback. So let us know at info@afterbuzztv.com and keep downloading and keep telling your friends that we will figure out this new web thing. Fear not. You know,
I like it a lot. I'm excited.
Anyways, all right. I'm sure nobody cares about that. They want to. Game of Thrones. That's why they're downloading now.
They responded, and so we have we have questions, and we're gonna start our evening off with that. So
absolutely.
So let's do it, Jesse.
So these were just what Jesse's gonna read. These were emails that you guys sent to us and questions that we are directly answering.
Yeah, like we'll do the best we can.
These are our opinions and everything you want to know.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so our first question comes from Paul asking, do you suppose that the summer and winter seasons in the show and the books are symbolic of times of peace and times of war?
Ooh.
I think it's actually it's a very good question because you always look for the symbolism,
Paul.
Especially in novels, symbolism so present. And I definitely would say that there is this sort of vibe that you get that winter is a time of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, fear consists of war and battle and darkness.
Yeah.
And I think it's even beyond just peace and war. It's also winter, in my mind at least, is like this time where the supernatural really arises in the show. And so it's like, it's even more. It goes beyond peace and fighting. Like, I think in the summer sometimes there's like the casual fight once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's when winter comes, it's like when it's everything's to the death. Like, no one knows if they're making it through.
Cold.
See, and I think winter represents for them is like an evil time where, you know, anything could happen. It's almost like the beasts are let loose to roam during the wintertime. And then summertime is a time of, harvest, a time of prosperity and so forth.
Friendship.
Friendship. So I see it, you know, in that light is, you know, those are the two.
Yeah. I think Paul, answered his
question. He really did.
It was lovely. He answered it by stating it. So bravo,
and then
Paul
added to it a little bit.
So.
I think Paul's definitely right. I don't think the show is like, if it's summer, there's not going to be any fighting. But if it's winter, it's just going to be more.
It's
very evil. It's very evil and dark time when winter is.
Yeah, because it seems like the supernatural possess a very cold power.
There you go.
Like the White Walkers, they breathe this cold, cold air. So, yeah, there's something there for sure. Those are some scary things.
What's interesting about the Game of Thrones for me is that it's such a hard, movie, but it's so poetic. So it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, you have all the blood and the gore, the nudity and so forth. But then it has it has a poetic kind of plot. Like, even with the winters and the harvest, it's kind of like Shakespearean kind of, if that's a word.
They like to add in little elements of both happiness and sadness, so much. That's why I say, during the summer, I don't think it's completely peace, because they will add in these moments of heatedness.
Yeah.
And I think if we do get to the winter season, we're still going to be able to grasp little parts of love and friendship, although I think it's going to be more dominated by unpeaceful times.
Okay. I like that. I like it. What do we got next?
So Jay Hawley, she calls herself a true grit girl raised from in the South.
Ooh. Okay.
I like it. Six topics for you guys to talk about.
Oh, she thinks very deeply.
She wants to get in. The first one is, what is the Khaleesi's fascination with those dragon eggs?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's very, very funny that we hit this.
It's right on the screen
right now.
The clip we're showing behind us is actually
next week.
Next week, or technically, I guess, tonight.
Yeah.
But we're doing last week's. And so it seems like she's doing some voodoo magic in the future that we're going to cover. Yeah. I think we should probably stick to our answer up to where we are right now.
So
whatever's going on in the future that we'll talk about next week, I think is going to get more into this question.
Yeah.
But what we've seen, or what I've seen, is really that her obsession comes from this idea that she's had that her body has dragon blood in it. Yeah. Like her brother always said, like, you're going to release the dragon. And I think she's kind of come to a point that, like, maybe she's part of the dragon. And it's this beautiful, fierce thing.
Connectedness. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, as we've shown, we're gonna see a lot more of. But I mean, as of last week and what I think, it's kind of creepy, but it's more of like a internal power for her.
Yeah.
This like obsession.
What's her name, Jesse, again?
Jay Hawley.
Jay Hawley. My personal opinion is I don't know right now.
I know.
I really don't. I mean, it's one of those things where, I thought about it, like the eggs and the dragon, but it's one of those questions that I really can't answer right now. I honestly feel like we're going to find out, because there's like I said, it's very poetic. So there's symbolism to everything that's done on the Game of Thrones. So it's just like a buildup.
Yeah.
But I really don't know at this point.
I agree. What's next? I mean, we have so many. We have five more.
I'm going to put two of them together.
Okay.
She said, is the queen slowly poisoning Robert, and do you think she actually loved him at one time?
Who wants to start with this one?
I don't think she is slowly poisoning him.
I don't think so.
But I do believe that she did love him, especially today's episode where they... I really do. I think there's a hope there. I think there's a hope there that also makes her more fierce now that she's been denied him for 17 years, that like makes her hatred for him a little bit more strong. Because if she didn't love him, then she'd just be like, bah. I know we're going to get to that conversation later, but I have to say, watching that take place today between both of them, King Robert and his wife, it was the first authentic moment I felt that any of the characters in this whole series, it was like the first time they were really honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe that she did love him at one point, and at sometimes continues to hope for his love.
Really?
I'm a romantic.
You think the same?
Okay, I'm totally in line with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer the first part of the question a little first. She said, is the queen slowly poisoning Robert?
Yeah.
I would say that I don't think she's poisoning him now, but they hinted a little like that they've been at it, a little backstabbing for the past 17 years.
The tears of Nice.
Yeah, I don't think she's doing that, but I think that she does plant her spies, and I wouldn't put it past her to have someone poison him. Yeah. I don't think she's doing it. I think she's a little too like up on her throne and can tell people what to do, that if she's going to poison someone, she's not going to do it. Yeah. She's like going to be like, "Oh no, I was doing that when that happened. What are you talking about?" Mm-hmm. She's a little too smart to poison him herself. Would she tell someone to do it?
Maybe.
And then about the love, I definitely think she loved him at one time from that conversation. It was because she had a hope. She had a hope that there was something for him. And, like, I just picture this girl who's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get to marry the new king. Like, he's this powerful warlord. Like, she's from this powerful family. Like, I could see her, like, really wanting that. And then to get thrown into a relationship, and like the first thing you learn is like he's mad about some other girl and is never gonna change. And like
that would suck.
She mentioned like I'm just not gonna mention her, and hopefully she'll die for him. And it like never happens. Like, and she had a son with him, and she had a child with him. Like, I feel like there is some sort of love that could have been there, and she's just been like so like pushed away. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? I'm going to go for the next best thing, which is power.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where she is.
See, and you know, the first question, I don't think, absolutely not. I don't think she's trying to poison him slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Second question, I really don't think that they have a love affair. It's one of those things where, you know, I pull from the same thing. I believe that, especially when you understand a little bit about history and you understand how couples back then got together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the only reason why they got together was because these two dynasties, they needed each other at the time.
Okay.
And then he actually said that there was a hate that mm-hmm. bound them together for 17 years. And then also he asked when he was, you know, brutally honest,
mm-hmm.
and he said all those things that he never really loved her and that he had, you know, he never really, no one ever felt that void that he had from Ned's sister. He asked her, did she have any feelings towards it? Did it make you feel better or did it make you feel worse? She said, I feel indifferent. It did nothing for me. And, you know, when you understand a little bit about love, you know, there's love is like a love-hate thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone has feelings, if someone loves you, they're going to have some type of feeling one way or another. You know, maybe if you love a person and they piss you off, per se, then you start to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a sense like, oh, I want to get at you. I want to get at you. You know, after you told me this thing. Mm-hmm. But she said she was indifferent about that. The only hate that she had, which I don't really, really quite understand, you know, mm-hmm. the total hate that they have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's going to get even deeper into it. And we're going to figure out why they have this strong hate. But I don't think that she loves him like that. I think she probably loves his position,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think she loves him per se, especially considering that, you know, how can you love somebody like that? I mean, to be honest with you, he you know, he has all these different children from different women. And then he tells you straight up, you know, he never loved you and you knew it. And, you know, you felt like that he was, that was a dig all, you know, their relationships. So I don't think you're buying it.
I think you do have some very good points, especially about the thing that they said about the hate bonding them for mm-hmm. 17 years. But I will say that when she said that she wasn't affected, I didn't believe her. I just felt like it was one of those things where you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where
it was actually a very good acting moment to point out, at least how I took it. It was like one of those things where like
where
she had the real feelings like behind her that it didn't matter. It was like kind of a stab, but she was going to be like, no.
Yeah.
It didn't feel it.
He said,
like,
does it make
strong.
You feel maybe. Better or worse?
And yeah, maybe.
She said, I feel nothing. And then I thought at that moment they went back to the lying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It was a very good moment. We saw that a lot.
I like it. We had fun. It was a good time. What's next?
So I believe actually this one kind of ties into it as well, but she asked, what role are Sansa and her sister to play in all of this?
So that would be Sansa and Arya.
Arya, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To play in...
Who wants to take it? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll answer this in two ways.
I think we'll each take one of the last three. Right. I'll take Sansa and Arya.
Mm-hmm. To play in this battle between the Starks and the Lannisters, I think that Cersei sees Sansa as someone that she actually likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the only
people. She's kind of like a Lannister.
Mm-hmm, one of the only people outside of her family that I actually think that Cersei like is like, oh, you're cute, you're pretty, I would accept you into my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like not full trust, but like she likes her.
Mm-hmm.
Arya, I see her as just this thing that we're going to really see grow.
Mm-hmm.
Through the series. I mean, she has all these characteristics of her being like a fighter and stand up. And I think mm-hmm. we're going to see her play a role along that. Like being the one that everyone thinks is going to turn this lady and being like some woman who like turns into like a warrior. And like if a war comes, she's going to like be in the front lines, like ready to take someone down. Like she's going to go so far. Like she's going to like kill some like high ranking, like king, lord, Drogo. I don't know, something.
She's going to slay that dragon. Mm-hmm. That's what she's
doing. I think she has a really big part, and I think it's not going to be as a lady. I think it's going to be as, like, this, like, warrior woman.
Yeah.
At least that's my prediction for her.
Oh.
Sansa, she's just, like, she's this weird borderline between the two families. Where, like, Ned obviously hates the Lannisters.
Yeah.
He's going to, now, especially now, since they're starting this huge family feud is going to try and like take her away. And I feel like Sansa is going to be fighting to be part of the Lannister family.
Yeah.
I think she That's could dangerous. Even go so far in the series as to be like a betrayer of her own family. Ooh. I think it's kind of that deep where Cersei has a little bit of a pull on her and like she's disconnected from her father and her sister right now. So I could see her kind of going, if the Lannisters are the dark side, to the dark side at one point.
I can see
and
that.
I
too.
Could see her being that kind of filter, like the breach of the Stark family.
That's a great idea.
That's kind of where I am with my long-term predictions.
Can you guys answer a question of mine before we get back to this? What is going on in the screen right now?
Well, we haven't seen this episode yet.
Oh, all right.
This is what we will be covering half of next week with, and I don't know. It's kind of scary. I'm definitely going to have to wait to talk about that one from the next week. And you guys should listen in because it looks really intense. So I'm sure we're going to have a lot to say.
Definitely.
Really intense.
All right. So our next question is, does anyone think Bran is going to play a huge role in this story, but tragically die somehow?
I don't think he's going to tragically die. I think he's going to play a huge role. I mean, you know, right now he can't walk, and I don't think that he's going to ever walk, but I think he's going to be very good and very skilled with the bow on a horse. Like I think he's going to find some other way to use legs as a catapult to doing what he has to do.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to die. I think he's, you know, he's very intelligent. He retains a lot of stuff, and then once his teacher told him about, you know, the Dragarians, you know, and how they're skilled with the horse and stuff like that, his face lit up, and he was like, "Wow, this is something I want to do." Mm-hmm. And we do know that he loved his legs, he loved climbing, he loved those kind of things. So I think he's going to be a very good horse rider, and he's going to be good with a bow, an arrow on a horse.
I like it,
and I think that comparison of him to maybe a Dothraki is a little interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I like it.
All right, and our final question. Mm-hmm. Was anyone else thinking, what kind of a fresh hell is this when the Knight of Flowers rode out on the horse? Give me your thoughts on the set, acting, and makeup.
What kind of fresh hell is this?
This is for you.
Like, fresh hell? I'm confused by the question because I don't. Maybe
fresh
I don't,
hell. I don't know.
Maybe I don't.
Maybe
understand
like
what fresh hell
them
is.
Adding maybe, a gay plot
I
line
could,
into
I could not
the
be.
Thing?
Maybe I'm not hip. Is that like a term?
I mean, when I hear fresh, I would think like was
sweet.
Yeah, like it was
sweet. Like sweet.
Like you would picture it being worse than it actually is.
Worse than it actually is. I mean, I thought it was awesome personally. I was just, you know, at first he's handing the rose to the lady, and then the camera so effortlessly. I mean, the director, is it Brian Kirk? Is that his name? He did a great job. He just pans up slightly, and you see that handsome dark man to the left, and they make eye contact. And I thought, in a magical world, we are not sexist. We are not biased. I was thrilled.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, I am a historian. You know, I like history.
I love that.
No, I like history.
I'm a historian.
That's what I do. No, but history, I mean, there was more homosexuality in history than a little bit. I mean, you know, warriors, I mean, they would come home from battle and they would, like, choose. You want a boy or you want a girl? I mean, they would choose men and, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, that happened a lot. I don't see it as a shock to me. To see it on, you know, on this on TV or whatnot, fresh hell. I guess, you know, that he's I'm thinking that she might think, okay, he's homosexual, but he's hell to pay. I don't know what the hell means.
I'm confused.
I'm confused about
it.
What's her name? What's her name again?
Jay Holly.
Can you
Can
you email us again? And explain to us what you mean by a fresh hell, because we really want to answer the question in the best way we know how, and I really don't understand it. I mean, it might be a Southern thing.
Maybe. Like, I mean, I didn't know what, like, hella something. Was until I came to California.
Yeah, hella.
People were like, that's hella cool. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Or you molded. Like, your mold is, like, really old.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, molded is, like, some old.
I'm the little East Coast. Okay. So, but yeah, I think, is that what we got for questions? Awesome.
I think she actually, did she not, I think she wrote a little bit at the very end just about how she... I'm going to go off memory here, so sorry if I get your question a little wrong. I know that she wanted to know what our thoughts were, if we had any special thoughts about the sets or the acting or the makeup.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
And I'll touch on one of them. I think we saw a really good acting moment, as you said, at the conversation between the king and Cersei. I think this show has so much that I feel like it's just a lot of world. Yeah. It's a lot, but I am being pulled in and believable, so I think that does give credit to the actors. And, like, I love watching the show, and, I mean, we go on, and, like, Curtis was saying, like, we didn't watch tonight's current episode, but Curtis is like, I'm going to watch it and rewatch it next week to talk about it. Like, it's a very exciting show. As for sets and
That's
makeup...
Amazing.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, the art. Amazing. I think the art direction is really amazing. Just amazing, and out of there has yet to be a moment where I'm like, okay, that's fake. Like, for instance, when they in the today's episode that we watched of the lion, the wolf and the lion, they throw the imp out into this dungeon, and then they pan back and we see, like, it's very Greek in nature, in the sense of,
right here,
like,
right here.
I'm afraid, like, something very large is gonna, like, fly in and, like, you know, eat at his liver and intestines and stuff. But yeah, there's yet to be a moment where I've gone, well, I don't believe that.
We're like, oh, that's a green screen. Yeah. It's like, it's very, it takes you in.
And I like mythology and sci-fi and all of that stuff. Like, sometimes when I'm watching Doctor Who, I'm like, okay, now, all right, you broke my, like, feeling of, like, is it just, I guess,
it didn't
disbelief.
Seem believable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for a majority of the time, I like when they did the third eye on the crow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was great. Wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then just like this, we can deal with this part right that you spoke of. Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, I don't know if you caught it, but he actually looked over the edge. When he looked over the edge, you see the thing. They even made it, like, they made his hair blow and everything. So, and that's a natural thing that would happen if you go out into the air where you're cutting, like where the cliff. And looking over changes, his hair started blowing and stuff like that. Sometimes sets miss those kind of things. Well, and then the castle is amazing.
Let's start with that. Let's start at the beginning. I agree with you. They opened The Wolf and the Lion with the Red Keep. And you just see this amazing red tower. Yeah. And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This is gorgeous. And so it was... I'm always really fascinated. Mm-hmm. Every episode, I'm surprised at what they have to offer. But we open up on that scene, and we see Lord Stark, and he is checking out the dead knight who had recently been knighted because before he was a squire. And they're, like, sewing up his throat, right?
Speaking of makeup and all of the detail, the fight scenes and him getting stabbed in the throat and
Bethany,
the bleeding.
Bethany missed that. She missed it. She covers her eyes.
I do. I cover my eyes, but
because it's so real looking.
I thought it was, you know, a lovely piece of symbolism that they're sewing up his throat. But he's silenced. Yeah. This man is not going to speak or tell us anything.
Yeah.
And they have a little walk and talk with, I think, Sir Barrister and Stark. And they're kind of discussing the details of, like, well, he was a squire just recently, and he's like, oh, you know, these things happen.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy how casual they are about death.
Yeah, these things happen. And then Lord Stark walks into the king's tent, and he's too fat for his armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's contesting it. What did you think about that scene?
I thought it was such a funny scene.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
It's funny because I read the books, and so it's funny how they, like, twist things just slightly. Because in the book, it was actually the whole conversation of that scene where Ned stands up to the king and goes, it's because you are too fat for your armor, is actually a little different than the book, where they have two people kind of telling him
well,
that...
Well, that's expensive.
Yeah.
That's what it is. There you go. It's expensive.
But, I don't know. I thought the scene tells you a lot. We see the king totally just picking on his little Lannister steward.
Well, and like, also tells you about Ned and the king's mm-hmm. relationship. That's why it's interesting that conversation happens in the beginning, and then the other mm-hmm. conversation happens that because he could say anything
it's a huge
to the king.
Arc, isn't yeah, it?
Exactly, a huge arc. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that. But go
oh
ahead,
yeah,
go ahead,
yeah. I'll go into that too. Mm-hmm. But so it shows you like he just picks on all these Lannisters because he feels like he's always surrounded by them, and then he turns to Ned, and he kind of turns into a little bit of a different person. Yeah. He goes from, like, this total, like, mean king to, like...
Yeah, your mother was a fat whore.
Yeah, yeah.
To, like, oh, wait, you're my friend. We can laugh together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, Ned's able to talk sense into him at that point, and he's like, you know, if you fight in this thing, no one's going to fight you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're going to win because no one wants to hurt the king.
Yeah.
Is there really any honor in that? And, like, it kind of shows that, like, that he did have some power as Robert's friend. Like
exactly, Ned, some persuasion.
He did have, like, they did have such a bond mm-hmm. that he could talk to
he
him
could talk
like
to him,
that.
Yeah.
Which is very important, because
yeah.
as you said, the arc at the end,
yeah,
he yeah. kind of loses that persuasion in a different matter. But just to start out with that, they were friends, they did joke, they mm-hmm. could stand up to each other a little in the beginning, and then the episode just takes a turn.
It does.
I wonder, I still don't understand why that particular Lannister is like a thorn. He really doesn't like that little kid. Like, he detests that little Squire Lannister.
He's awful.
Yeah, something about him. I wonder what it is about him that makes him really detest him. And
maybe he realizes, in my opinion, that I think the kid's a spy.
You think so?
Perhaps.
You think so?
Perhaps. That
I mean, the queen has eyes. What
yeah.
better than the king steward that's related
yeah.
to her?
Yeah,
I guess you make an excellent point there. That's kind of...
I don't know.
That's a little... I don't know. But there's a lot going on in this, in their relationship, in
yeah.
King Robert and in Lord Stark. And I thought it was really interesting. We cut to... what is his name? It begins with a V. He's the bald
Varys?
Man.
Varys.
Yes.
Fat eunuch.
So yeah.
That's my waddle.
And if I'm missing something, we can rewind a little bit. But I love it that Varric's talking, and as he's talking, he's quietly closing all the doors
mm-hmm.
and all the windows. So nobody can hear this conversation
yeah.
that they're about to have. And what does he tell them? Tell the king.
Or you tell Ned or the
mean
king?
I mean tell Ned. Sorry, I'm a little dyslexic. You're both looking at me like, that's crazy.
Know, like,
but what is it that he really communicates, do you think?
I think, I mean, what he says is that he's like, I think Robert is in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know it was this poison. And I think it was called the Tears of Nice.
Yes,
and it's
it
like
was.
Tasteless and looks like water
mm-hmm.
or something. And Robert goes, well, I've been here for a month. Why didn't you tell me this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's like,
that's
I didn't
a
trust
great
you.
Point.
Mm-hmm. I didn't trust you. And, you know, it's like,
a,
okay,
it's
now.
It's shady,
I trust
huh?
You.
Mm.
I think it's a little more than shady. It's like, I have things in place, so now I can tell you this.
Yeah.
I actually, my opinion
he's starting
on this
something.
Conversation.
He's go ahead. He's,
no, completely. I think
yeah,
he
he's starting
on,
something.
He's starting it.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's not honesty. It's like, yeah. I'm going to tell you this so you do something so I get it my way.
Exactly.
I think it's a trick.
Exactly.
But I mean, that's what I got out of that conversation, really. I'm trying to remember if there's any other key facts that he said.
I think that was about
yeah,
it. I think he was just like, I'm the king's in danger. And it was just, it was a little off. I felt like it was a little offbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this fabulous scene between Littlefinger
and same person.
And Varys again.
Yeah.
And like, to the point where like, it was so poetic that I didn't know what they were saying, but I knew they were dueling and sparring. Maybe I'm a little slow today and I can't keep up, but I was like, what's going on? Do they like each other or do they hate each other? Ooh, they hate each other.
Yeah, because yeah, here's the thing. They're both, they always have their ear. They're huge gossipers, both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they both have their ear too. So it was almost like a joust between two people. I know this secret. You know this secret. I was watching you when you weren't watching me, and this is what I know about this situation.
And some lords sleep with dead people.
Exactly.
And I know that you acquire the bodies for them. That must be very challenging. Well, I know that it was intense.
They were jostling over who knew what, and I know your secret. And what you're trying to hide, and I just want to let you know I see you type mm-hmm. thing. That's what Littlefinger was basically saying, I see you.
And who do you think, I mean, I know who I think Vary is who won that conversation.
No, I actually think Littlefinger. I think Littlefinger won the conversation. Oh, yeah, because his face changed. I mean, yeah. Vary's face changed. He's like once he knew that he saw him.
Yeah.
Even because at first when he said, I saw you with Ned, he was like, oh, yeah, that was no big deal. Mm-hmm. But then when he started about the foreigner, he was like, wow, you got something on me.
Sorry, that just cracked me up. Sorry. it's basically like this. When was the last time I saw you?
Exactly.
I saw you yesterday.
I know. I saw you a couple of minutes ago.
Well, I saw you 5 seconds ago.
You got me. That's what Varys did. He had that look like, you got me. So I feel like that Littlefinger won that particular battle.
I think,
Sarah's. Yeah, okay. We're like.
They're like jousting over here between the two of you. I'm like,
we're just improvising.
We were acting it out.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I know. That's
okay. Well, from your fight, I was.
No, that was love. That was a love thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a love joust, I think, in the show.
Who do you think won?
It was. Okay, I'm really conflicted actually about who won because I like understood the conversation, mm-hmm. but I felt like Littlefinger's last point of saying like, I saw you with a foreigner, ha ha ha, I can hold that over your head, was then, a bigger,
I think it was a huge deal.
It was like a bigger deal than Varys' last mark. Like, Varys definitely had the last word, but it was kind of like, well, everyone's going to find out right now, so it's not like you're holding any mystery, like...
You know what? I changed my mind. I think you're both right. Littlefinger wins. I mean, he does. Varys gets the last word, but Littlefinger's info is much heavier.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's what I would say. I would say just because it shows that he still has like an eye on you a little more than you have an eye on him.
That's what we do, viewers at AfterBuzz. We try to change people's minds.
Give you our opinion.
Thank
you. A new one. I don't know.
You never heard that one? Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard that plenty of times.
But we get to that. You know, the king calls everyone, mm-hmm. And we get there, and God, it breaks my heart just a little bit, because Stark is like. You can't possibly kill the Khaleesi.
Oh, you're talking about when they fought?
Yeah.
When they broke up?
When they broke up.
Yeah, the king and Ned.
It's
true. King and
Ned broke There's up, no yeah. other... That's exactly what happened. Yeah. They break up.
Because Cersei's even describes it like that as far as like...
Oh, the your end relationship, of their marriage.
Your marriage broke up. You know, so she even describes it as that way as well.
But, I mean... Ned has gone to battle for the king and has kind of followed him to the ends of the earth or the ends of this made-up world, land that they've created, so to speak. And he's turned into this beast of a human being.
Because, they've reached this point where it really shows and emphasizes what Ned feels is honor. Because this whole confrontation starts because... The king, King Robert, is so consumed with his hate for the Targaryens that he is set on a mission to have Daenerys, the new Khaleesi, killed along with her unborn child. And Ned's just like, I'm not going to have you kill someone with a baby. And he's like, and Robert's point of view and most of the small councils is like, well, we have to kill them now to keep the peace here in case they come over.
Because he's thinking.
Sorry.
Well, I was thinking that Robert's fear is that that because there's a child between the Dragarians and the Targaryens, which Targaryens are the rightful.
I know, they're
the rightful. they have the right to the throne, basically. Mm-hmm. And then the Targaryens have this huge army. So then when you have these two families merge, not only in relationship, but they have a bloodline between them too.
Yeah.
There's no stopping the Targaryens from, reaching the throne again.
And
so that's his big fear.
What do you say?
This is just what I have to say. This is just my thought about it. They're having this argument, and it's like, well, they're not going to come because their horses can't travel across the water. And this is all I was thinking. I was like, if you do kill the wife
they're going
and the
to
baby,
come.
Then they are going
they're
to come.
They're definitely going to come.
Guaranteeing. And I feel like absolutely. They're going to be, he's going to be a little more mad if you killed his unborn child.
Of course.
Than if you like just stayed.
And his wife. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's one of those things where you're going to, it's either a sooner or later type of situation that's going on between the Targaryens, and, you know, the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
If you kill the Targaryen, Khaleesi, you kill the baby between Drogo and Khaleesi, it's going to be sooner. The war is going to be sooner than later.
And I mean, for me, this is like screaming like biblical stories.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is totally like Mary and baby
you think
Jesus.
Jesus is going to live.
No, but I'm just saying, like, and you know, the soldiers going door to door, killing all the babies, looking for the male son.
Yeah.
And I, that turned out so well for them.
It didn't turn out. Fabulous.
It really worked.
Christianity's just everywhere.
I know, exactly. It didn't work at all.
Is that what you're predicting for
this? Yeah, it's just going to spread.
I don't know, but also, I mean, now we're talking about, like, Noah crossing the water.
Yeah.
And well, they don't cross the water, but they, you know what? I think the seas part and the Jews get across and then they're free. So I think there's a lot of, I mean, I could be reading way too much
into
this.
That's what's interesting about this Game of Thrones. When I watch this, it's like every one of these movies that I've ever seen, or every one of these, you know, history plots I've ever seen are combined with this. It feels like
mythology.
Trojans, you know, it feels like the Trojans and stuff like that. You know, it feels like Lord of the Rings. It feels like biblically. I mean, it really, like, I think it's amazing how anyone who has anything to do with any type of history or you like to know things that has something to do with the past, it really draws you in.
Yeah.
Like if you're it really tackles every type of person that I like. I mean, you know, if you like great acting, you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
If you like cinematography, you're going to get that. If you like, you know, biblical stuff, you're going to get that. I mean, there's so much involved in this that
I
don't know why.
Levels.
I don't know why anyone's not watching this.
Yeah, a lot of levels in the show.
A lot of levels.
I like it. I want to jump real quick. I know
the little kids suck.
Oh my god. We can't even get there yet.
Hurry up. Let me know.
I actually want to jump over to Lady Stark and the Imp.
Okay. Are we skipping the breakup then?
I feel like it ties into that. I think I want to go back to
let's
that.
Because
oh my god. Lady Stark is they're like on the road east and she's gonna go visit her sister who she hasn't seen in how many years?
Five.
Yeah,
five
which is
years.
A long time. Mm-hmm. And then they're attacked by the hill people. What happens?
The wildling.
Hill tribes.
I closed my eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
So they're taking a little rest and they have like, you know, their little words and the imp goes, "Untie me. I'm not really that big of a threat." And she refuses. Of course, the moment she refuses to untie him, we see all these, they're described as like the hill tribe people, almost like nomads. They're not the others. They're not the people from the other side of the wall. They're just like, you know, like rowdy ruffians. Yeah. So they come
barbarians,
and attack their little traveling group. And they're like basically almost getting destroyed. Like, and then one of the men almost kills Kat, but she unties the imp just in time. And the imp ends up choosing to save Kat's life.
Because he really wanted to jump on one of those horses.
Instead of going on one of the horses and riding away.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So that's a very interesting point. And then after this fight, we see them continue on to the Vale where her sister is reigning over.
Why did he do that?
Well, I don't know. The plot thickens because he's a Lannister. She's a Stark. He had an opportunity to go and escape. She's holding him hostage, which is a Lannister, and then he saves her life. And she actually bear witness to that. She was looking at him. And then he goes to they go to her sister, who her sister instantly wants to have this Lannister killed because of, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, I'm going real fast, but
he wants to jump all the way
because I want to get to the breast. But so what happens is that she goes to her sister, who her husband was the hand of the king, who got killed by a Lannister, and so she's bitter and she wants to kill
Lannister.
According to her, he got killed by a Lannister, and here is a Stark who wanted him to be tried, wanted the little imp to be tried, which is the Lannister, because he saved her life. Now she has a different opinion about about him as being a killer and being treacherous, you know. But if you notice something, I don't know if you guys noticed, but dude, like he kept like killing the guy with the shield.
I had my eyes closed.
Oh, okay. He kept beating the guy with the shield. So that means something. It has to mean something because he just kept doing it, Dude was dead, and he kept doing it. So
I don't think that really meant too much.
I think it ties into who he is as a human being.
He's like a little person. He was like, I'm going to make sure you don't get up.
See, I was thinking that it he may not be sinister with a knife or whatever, but the fact that he was doing it over and over again tells you something about his character. It tells you something about his character and what he's willing to do, you know, to save himself, you know.
But I think it tells even more about his character that he did choose to save Kat over running away, even though she is completely not on his side.
Well, he's smart. I mean, he's a smart little guy. You remember he talked about his brain and talked about how he didn't have the power to fight with a sword, but he's his brain. I mean, I'm thinking he's smart.
It also puts me in the position of thinking that he didn't kill her son.
Like, no, he definitely didn't kill her son. But it's a very good chess move by him to not, because here's the thing: you jump on the horse, they're gonna, you know, eventually they're gonna catch you.
Yeah.
So you say, okay, how can I gain these people behind me? I mean, it's a very strategic and smart. I mean, he may not have been thinking that deeply. I would like to think that he was, you know, thinking that deeply, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know.
Yeah, okay. That is a good move if he's trying to, you know, avoid some punishment. Save the woman who's trying to punish you.
Absolutely.
I'll give that to him.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And so we get, and they go down the road a little bit more because clearly they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
They see these knights.
Mm-hmm.
The knights are kind of cranky. Not gonna lie,
because she wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, because she's not supposed to be there. She's coming unannounced. How dare she?
Yeah. How dare you go see your sister unannounced?
We get there, and it's I mean, the castle is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is.
She's sitting on a thorny, kind of like a thorny.
It is not
seat
warm.
Too.
Yeah.
It is like a broken tree.
Production is like, this is a cold, unhappy place, and I can't even speak right now. John Arryn is so warm. Everything I've heard about him is very warm. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised that he lived in this cold, scary castle.
Do you think he lived in the castle like that, or you think it changed?
The king of swear.
There's
just so many names and so many vowels and
Yeah, exactly.
The Hand of the King always lives in the Red Keep, down by King's Landing.
Yeah.
So the Vale, which is this giant fortress castle where we see, did belong to him, but it's kind of like Winterfell belongs to Lord Stark, but he's still in the Red Keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it actually is meant to be that cold, but I don't think...
Really?
I imagine it at one point as like an airy cold. You know what I mean? Where it's like, not like... chill wind spearing in from every which, but like an almost like a place of like if you watch Lord of the Rings, like the elven place, where it's very like airy and mystical, and there's like waterfalls everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been that one point,
but I think so too.
What it says about that area and the knights being so cranky is it's a point that says that, and Robert touches on it in the episode 2. He says, we now rule a kingdom where anyone who has money can have their own army.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was being illustrated by those knights being so cranky and so completely about to do whatever Lady Stark's sister said, is because they don't really follow the rules of the realm. They only follow her rules. Yeah. Like, they're their own little entity army over there.
Of course.
Do you think that speaks to, like, our modern-day capitalism?
it really does.
What? I have my own company. I don't need to follow the laws.
Exactly.
Come on now. I can pay it.
Like, who cares about the environment?
We'll get our way out of this.
Not just the government will pay us back. It's fine.
You know, we're slightly connected to the government, so we can get our way.
I didn't say that government.
It's really
That's
dark.
These two ladies.
We did say
it. I pay my taxes.
Anyone, I'm not here next week.
Yeah, exactly. We know what happened.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you.
You are supposed to stand behind.
You should have said Curtis, too. You said Curtis because I want to stay around.
It's not fair.
But I also think that symbolism, you know, John Arryn, he died So his place looks like it's dead. Everyone looks dead around it.
It does.
So they pretty much died with him. Exactly. So everything, I think everything died with him, per se. Normalcy even died, as we see.
Yeah, because we meet her, Lady Stark's sister, and she's crazy pants.
She's
nuts.
Breastfeeding a 10-year-old, I believe.
I don't know if he was 10, but he was far too old to be breastfeeding, and it was so disturbing.
I don't know about you, Jesse, but it made me kind of thirsty.
I'm just saying.
I was kind of thirsty. Just,
I mean, if they intended for the image to rattle us and like kind of just mess with our heads a little bit, they did their job.
You were rattled? I wasn't rattled.
Rattled? I was a little rattled.
I was completely rattled.
Nah, not me. Yeah. I wasn't rattled at all.
I was like, what?
Oh,
stop.
His mouth was wet.
I was just wishing I had some cookies.
And he was just saying,
some cookies. Oh, God, you're literally making me gag.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to hear this.
I love cookies. I love cookies.
I just don't understand why your sister wasn't like, well, I guess because she wants something. But honestly, I think if I saw that anywhere, I'd be like, what are you doing?
That's my question. Exactly. What about the knights?
Hey, crazy person.
They were used to seeing that.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sure.
How could like all the knights be like, that's a normal woman. We're going to listen to her.
Yeah.
Really?
She probably lets them do it too. She had some really big ones.
I just want her to put some clothes on, and I don't want to stand.
Really?
So clearly,
oh, because it's
like,
a girl thing. I mean, you know, you didn't flinch when...
The lesson to this is with...
But you didn't flinch. You didn't flinch when you saw... No, you didn't flinch when you saw...
What?
The prostitute?
No.
The guy about to give...
Yeah. You didn't flinch when you...
Oh, my God. I was totally... I had my eyes closed
open.
Because
eyes open.
I was terrified... I knew that tension was building with that razor when he was shaving him.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about... Yeah, that's the part you turned your head.
He was talking about when he unzipped his
pants. When he unzipped his pants, you were like, okay, I'm used to this. See, I was used to the... See, the breast didn't bother me. Now, that, you know, I kind of turned my head because I...
I wouldn't say I was used to it.
He was like, oh, wow, really?
It's going down. I think that was the point where I realized he had been cut with the razor and I could now open my eyes because, like, he...
See, that made me... That was the part that made me nervous.
See, I was fine with that. I'm fine with the blood. I've grimaced at the horse's head being chopped off. I was not okay with the grown child breastfeeding. I'm fine.
That was
I'm
crazy,
fine
though.
With the sex and the gore. For some reason, I guess that seems
really?
More normal to me.
I think grown men breastfeed a lot.
This is her child that's like...
What's it? Oh, yeah.
Eight. This isn't...
No, I think the kid was pretty old.
Again, I think the lesson...
It's not normal.
It wasn't normal.
For all
not at
of
all.
Us in this is, if we haven't talked to any friends and family for 5 years, give them a call before you
exactly,
stop by.
Exactly.
There you go.
I think
there
that's like pretty good. We got to wrap this up real quick.
Okay.
So let's just go to.
Is there anything we need to?
Well, there's a lot we need to talk about. Ned finds out basically that this is all happening with Lady Stark. He goes to the king to say something about it, but that doesn't work out. And then shit hits the fan, excuse my language, because Ned goes to the brothel to just make sure that, you know, there are more seeds out there because the seed is strong, and he is attacked.
I'm also going to hand in between him being attacked and going to the brothel, he also rejects the king's position his hand to the king, turns in his pants like, I'm not doing it anymore. We hear the king in the background going, treason, evil, I'm going to put your head on a spike. And then we go fast forward. Brothel.
Which you know he won't. Yeah.
I love that it's a pin. Like, he doesn't lay down a sword or anything. He's like, here's my pin.
I know,
hello.
That's what you have.
And then we see him. He comes out of this brothel just to face Jaime Lannister with his whole troops of guards being like, you're not the hand of the king anymore. Yeah. I'm going to make you get me my brother back. Mm-hmm. They go into this big duel of clashing, fighting swords. All of... These are the sound effects.
Okay.
Ned's best man gets stabbed with a dagger in the eye. Really gruesome. Then this prompts Ned into actually taking Jaime Lannister on. They're fighting one-on-one combat. We see it be very even. It doesn't really look like either one is like ahead above the other. They're just going. And there's a pause. And right as Ned and Jaime are about to charge back at each other, one of Jaime's men who's watching this takes a stake and stabs Ned through the back of the thigh. Like, Ned doesn't see it. It completely comes from behind him. And you see Jaime going like, now what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to kill you because there's, like, no honor in that. Gets pissed off, threatens him.
Yeah.
Like
who is the same man that stabbed the Mad King in the back? So I find it very interesting that he's like, wait, no, now I have to kill you with honor and dignity, and so I can't do this right now.
And what's interesting about this plot is that that Ned and Jamie, their relationship is becoming really, really rough, and yet the imp and Kat, their relationship is growing stronger.
Yeah.
Which they're actually, Ned and Jamie are fighting over.
I know.
Over that situation is in his building. It's becoming, you know, their bond is coming closer, and their two are becoming more enemies.
It's all building. I can't wait to hit the Golden Crown episode.
And besides all these things that are going on, I'm throwing out one more thing.
Go ahead, throw it out.
I'm going to still throw it out. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay,
anyway,
predictions.
Well, I'm going to predict
that,
like someone said in the show, that more families are going to become involved. I think that Lord Renly, who is Robert's brother, being prompted by the Knight of the Flowers, is going to make a little bit of a power play, and he's going to enter his family even more into this battle between the wolves and the lions. And I think we are going to start to see more of these sigils and families coming into the mix and stirring up the pot.
Yeah. I'm going to take a far-fetched stretch and like, kind of off the cuff, just say that I think Arya is somehow going to rescue her father. I just think that's going to happen. I don't know why. I'm just saying, just instincts. Just, I'm going on that. Curtis?
Follow the hot.
I disagree. So it's okay. No, I agree with you both. I think the plot's going to thicken for everyone. I think we're going to deal a little bit more. Like, because we didn't talk about Targaryens and the drug.
No, we haven't even gotten there.
So my assumption is that next episode is going to be more on that side, because it seems that's the way it's doing. Building plots here and then build a plot here. And then eventually it's going to all merge together and it's going to be chaos.
It's going to be a
fight. Winter will come.
So everyone, watch next week. We'll be covering the show from tonight.
And these two ladies, they look lovely, by the way.
Thank you.
Ooh,
glad to have you guys.
Watch, I think the board is on after us. And oh my goodness, Maria is wearing a crazy outfit. You need to watch it.
I'm kind of in love with it.
I actually think I heard a rumor that she made it herself. Hopefully they'll bring it up.
She did.
But it's outstanding. Stay tuned.
Amazing.
Keep watching them.
Cool.
It's fantastic. I think
absolutely.
It's their finale.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for all your great questions this week.
Keep them coming.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.